Hello, Bartholomew here. It's been a couple months since our last episodes, and this is because we didn't record anything over the summer, but now summer is over, and Adami, Oiva, and I are back here at university. Suresh, on the other hand, has finished his degree and is currently travelling in Europe. I'm here to warn you that this is a shorter episode than usual, but I hope you'll enjoy it nonetheless.
Hello guys, this is Red Sushi, the podcast.
Yeah, it is.
With
yeah.
Me, Adamia.
Bart.
Oiva.
And Suresh.
Hello.
Whoa!
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Well, we can hear you.
Okay, so Suresh, you're the international correspondent here at Red Switch. Doing, like, corresponding internationally. And the nation you're currently in is... Italy.
Italy.
Located in Paris.
What's the main difference between Italy and England?
Most things, I would say. Like, I don't think England has any Baroque architecture or Renaissance architecture. At least in London. And it's also, they speak surprisingly a different language.
What kind of language? Is it like a...
It's weird. It's like, it's attempting to be English, but I put a bit of French in it. You know, it's just strange.
Oh, that is odd.
Would you call that Italian, maybe?
Nah.
that's the wrong name. There's surely a better name for that. Oh, lost connection a bit. Reconnecting. Hello?
I can still hear you.
Okay, Suresh, I think this is not going to work between us anymore.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
It's I think we've just grown apart. I feel there's so much distance between us.
No, this internet here is pretty shitty, so...
Yeah, that too. That's the main problem, actually. We just if you have anything still to say, you can say it now.
Okay. Go Donald Trump.
So... Right now, we're living in turbulent times. So turbulent, actually.
I'm sorry, this sounds like Harry Potter 7. These
Fuck
are
off.
Dark times, there is no denying. But you cannot fight this battle on your own, Mr. Potter.
Potter?
Yeah, that's what he said, Mr. Potter.
Ooh.
He's too strong. These are turbulent times, there is no denying.
Okay. The times are dark. Times are uncertain. Will there be times in a bit of time? Will there be a 22nd century? Cue the intro music. There are many ways you can look at that question. Will there be a 22nd century? And there are many ways to interpret it, and then those interpretations can be answered or discussed. One of the most obvious ones to me is that there might not be a 22nd century because we fucked it all up by blowing ourselves up, i.e. nuclear annihilation.
Whoa.
Because, you know, this is something that's always been a bit of an irrational fear or like an undertone. That's been seen as something kind of dangerous, where in that during the Cold War was a very serious threat that people were very afraid of. And now it's not really seen as much of a threat anymore, even though it may be.
No. There's been news just recently where threats have been made by certain Russian people where nuclear war would be certain. Like this one news where, can't remember the name of the person, but it was a close political relation of Putin, that if Clinton is going to win the presidential election, yes, there will be a nuclear war.
Yeah, there are people that are quite serious about this. But whether there's going to be a nuclear war and whether that would lead to nuclear annihilation are two things. Because what's in it for anybody to blow up everything? Isn't you just want to blow up the other thing?
Yeah, but there's something called A and something called B, and A wants to blow up B and B wants to blow up A. Both will be blown up is what Oiver is arguing, I'm thinking.
What are you thinking? What Oiver's arguing?
No, I'm not thinking that. I think he's wrong. Mm. I don't think it will end. I don't think personally it will end.
What will end? What's it?
22nd that we will. The human will not reach like the 22nd century. I don't think that's a.
You don't think we'll reach it?
I think we will. Yeah.
How come?
I think the great thing about humans are that we've found a way to survive, no matter what, how bad it gets. You know, people thought when the World War I, World War II happened, oh, this is the end now. Everything's gonna die. Somehow humans somehow crawled out of it. Like, you know.
People so didn't think that way, really.
Yeah, but still, even like if there's a nuclear war, I think people, there will be humans that will survive.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
But just by the amount of nuclear weapons we have.
Yeah.
It's enough to just like get, just blow up the
yeah, but I don't think that ground anyone soil. Will do that. Why will anyone do that? No one, we'll be like, yeah, well.
Do you think we're sort of safe enough with, or we're not careless enough to do that?
I think humans are idiotic, but no one will be that. I don't think it will ever come to that stage.
Do you think there are certain countries that might not exist?
Yeah, that's possible.
They're just entire countries.
That is completely possible. That is. I think not even possible. I think that is likely. The way the friction between nations. The way the friction there is, so I think there will be a lot of countries that will just completely be obliterated. Maybe not by nuclear, but like by some other sort of factor.
And do you think being in the UK, in this Western country that's kind of got wealth and everything, we're very likely either to be a part of the people doing this, or to be have good ties with countries that are bombing other countries. Would you feel in any way responsible?
No, why?
For having
why,
done this?
Why would I be responsible?
Feel like your country has caused, say, millions of people to be obliterated.
Yeah, but it's not people. There are three things in life: things that you can control, things you can influence, things you can't influence at all. So something like me watching a football game and the team scores, I'm not controlling, influencing that. It's out of my control. I could influence you to pick a module by just saying, yeah, do this module. I can control what I do. I can control to pick up my phone. I can't control what, like, the leaders... I mean, I can have the minuscule influence by voting for them. So let's say I've voted for them. So I've had the tiniest amount of influence because I put them in charge. But I don't think you can really blame yourself for anything, really, like that. On such a big scale, unless you're the person, unless I'm like the prime minister, like, can you blame yourself? Well, yeah, I did it. First of all, what does that even mean? Like, there is not going to be a 22nd century.
This leads to the other question: is there time without human beings?
Yes, that is. I think that's an obvious. Again,
I just read learned about a research where flies have a different idea of time, yeah, which is why they're way too hard to whack with your hand to death, even though you're a lot bigger.
Like, whack with your hand to death.
So the research suggests that the fly has a different idea of time.
So
one way of putting that would be that 1 second in our perception of time may be several seconds in the perception of a fly.
It takes
a long time. The sort of small fast changes are actually quite slow to them.
Yes.
Time is like a mathematical certainty, right? And people think, like, this is a big question where mathematicians think, oh, we created the formulas. Time existed before humans. These formulas, these things that describe natural phenomena, were there before humans. Humans just stumbled across them. So we just stumbled across the idea of time. Time will still be there when humans are gone.
This is the point.
The whole idea of time is that it's infinite.
This is the point of annihilation. So there literally is nothing left. So in that thought experiment, 22nd century doesn't exist as a human time measurement, which it is. And it's not an actual measurement. It's a perception of the time. It's a perception of temporality. It's a perception of the human mind.
Yeah, but I'm talking about here that 22nd century, yes, but it's a period in time. Time can be measured in any unit, but whether that's 22nd century for us, that'd be the same for a fly, because fly will have to live that long. It's just it's like a line, right?
It's very difficult to make the distinction between what's been invented and what's been discovered. Sort of, we might have invented our own definition of time, or we've discovered this time that's always been there. And that's always a question that people keep discussing is, you know, is that kind of thing a discovered thing, or is it invented? If it's invented, then our annihilation would lead to the annihilation of time. If it's been discovered by us, but it exists outside of our existence, then our annihilation doesn't lead to to time vanishing. But is it really that time just exists outside of us? Is it really something that we've discovered?
I think every mathematical phenomena, gravity, everything, although we've used our own sort of terminology to describe this event, that event was there before. We just found a way to describe it. That description, something, let's say, all right, it's like me saying, Oiva's wearing a black shirt, all right? Oiva's wearing a black shirt. But I've defined that by saying, that is not meaning that if I did not know that was a black shirt, that the black shirt never existed. I've just found a way to define it. That makes sense.
So if you didn't have the vocabulary and grammar and ability to speak and describe that he has a black shirt, that doesn't mean he doesn't have a black shirt.
Yeah. So just because humans if let's say humans did not know what time was, that does not mean time never existed. Time existed with humans. Humans were just completely oblivious to it.
But yeah, so that's the exact problem. You can put stuff, you can categorize stuff, like his shirt is black, he's wearing it. You can put those things into boxes, like a black shirt box, a red shirt box. You can define things and draw lines between stuff, distinguishing between one thing and the other. But before you existed, before you came along and drew lines, those things still were around. But with time, it's more like those lines are the only important part about it, about distinguishing between 1 second and the next. And if you're not there to distinguish between those seconds, then time itself is not really anything close to how we think about it now.
A second, a minute, what I see time as is like, and that's not me, Ramanujan defined it quite well, when he's the one who said that, when someone said, how the hell are you coming up with all these sort of, how are you creating these mathematical formulas? He said, I'm not creating them, I've just stumbled, in terms of finding these phenomena and defining a second, it's not creating, it's finding. So, like, time is a line. A second, what we're doing is a segment. We can define it. It could be 1.5 seconds, and we can call that a turd. And we say, oh, that's one turd. And then what we're saying, 22nd century, we're saying we've basically segmented it ourselves. That point will still exist. Doesn't matter what kind of segmentations we have to do to get there. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not getting it.
What?
You're not seeing the point. You're so oblivious to how ingrained that idea is, how ingrained time being such a construct is, that you can't see that maybe if that construct wasn't there, time wouldn't be there.
Time would be there.
That's what I mean. It's so ingrained in your mind
that you
don't understand what we even mean by time not existing.
Time exists. Time exists before humans, and time will exist after humans. I don't know. Our idea of time is different to maybe something else's idea of time. The time will still exist. Doesn't matter whether we're there or we're not there. A second will still exist. It'll be a second after all the humans died. There will still be a time. That makes sense. What are you thinking, Oliver?
There is no time.
All right, cheers.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the cough that makes things serious.
Yeah, come on, Oliver. You have to say something more philosophical than time doesn't exist.
No. 22nd century as a human concept would not exist after a nuclear annihilation.
Yeah, that's a better thing.
Yes, yeah.
As a human concept of that particular segmentation, we will not exist in that particular moment in time. Is that what you're saying?
Also that time is not segmented without humans.
Time is just one continuous line without humans.
It's not a continuous line because that would imply that time was something that moved. Because movement is complete illusion. It's something that human people do in their minds. Like, movement would not
great. This everything is, like, is imaginary.
No.
But don't you mean that? Doesn't mean that. There isn't some abstract line that you can draw somewhere. But there's this progress of things interacting.
It's linear, is what I think you want to say.
This kind of in quotes movement. It's not movement in any direction. It's movement forward through time. That's always there, right?
Agreed.
Sorry, can you movement?
You're saying that this kind of movement is an illusion that of what? Okay, what exactly did you say about movement?
Movement is a human perception. It's a human perception of sensations. So when you see something moving, obviously you see it moving. But
it's moving.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's only in your mind.
That movement happens with different phases. There's the starting point, and then there's the end point. But between that, there's, well, not an infinite, but practically infinite if you just infinite amount of different positions the hand was in, right?
Yeah.
If you just divide them to those points.
Yeah, but then you can say a second is infinite because you can divide a second into an infinite number of things.
Yes, you can. That's just irrational.
That's getting beside the point. What was the question? I don't even know what the question was.
And movement, as it is a human experience of those different points added into one.
Okay, so is this... Are you getting at something really abstract, or are you getting at the phenomenon of your red might not be my red, where it's like
an animal's
perception of time and your perception of time is different, and say maybe an alien would think of time in a completely different manner, where it's a different sense.
It's just an abstract manner, yeah.
So it's a very abstract thing.
So if you think about God, for instance, God is something that's unmeasurable.
Unmeasurable.
Yeah. And God has no time. That's the point of being a God.
It's too busy.
God has no time. Or what would you define time as God itself?
Some people have done that, yes. So God is all encompassing. It has this universe, or kind of like sphere of the universe, just in his palm. So time for a God is just an instant. It's a human concept of thinking about movement as a real thing.
All right, let's go back to the actual question where you said, will humans reach that particular moment in time? Will they be alive for that particular moment 100 years from now?
You've completely given up on the abstract.
Yeah, because it's too abstract now. It's coming to a point where we're right, but it literally just covers everything. Yeah.
A very scary thought is to think that humans don't always progress in this upwards manner. That it's not this thing that, well, you know, the next generation will be better than the previous one and will continue and will always get better. What if there is one situation in which we do just annihilate ourselves and progress stops right there? There's this great point I heard somewhere where we spoke about, where this guy spoke about human progress being contingent on the exact situation in which we found ourselves. That the reason why we progressed out of the Dark Ages to the modern times and invented all these things and sort of became more...
human.
Well, became more civilized. It's not that that was just going to happen naturally, but that there were certain certain things in place that allowed that to happen. And maybe there's not such a thing in place that would prevent us from blowing ourselves up, annihilating ourselves. If there's not such a thing in place that would prevent that, if our psyche is just a bit too dumb to think far enough in advance to prevent those things, then we're not going to progress. There's not some kind of... there's nothing technically guaranteeing survival.
Mm.
And there never has been. It's just that we've been lucky to stick around for this long.
Mm. Yeah.
And also, very likely, I won't experience this 22nd century, because my lifetime is... too short for that.
No, it's not true.
Why is that not true?
I understood that very modern people, like 90s and 00s born, will have a higher life expectancy.
how much higher? Will I get? Will I be 100 years old? Because if I want to make it to the 22nd century, I'd have to be 100. I'd have to become 103 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, that seems feasible.
Yeah.
Just even... keep up some exercise.
Start
eat
right
relatively
now.
Healthy.
Just do exercise immediately.
So how old are you planning on getting?
I don't know.
What's the aim?
I don't think I have an aim.
What do you mean aim of how old you want to live till?
Because like optimal physical fitness and mental fitness is 25. It's downhill from there. How long do you want to stick in the downhill part? For me, I'd, you know, keep it short. 70 years, that's pretty good. Then you have the... Because from 25, it's usually just downhill in terms of what you're capable of doing. You're going to have then 75 years of having your best day behind you.
Where do you get this 25-year thing
That's
from?
Just kind of sort of the growth of our body. We're constantly increasing to optimum fitness. And that's 25, and then it starts slowing down again. Mm. And then after 30, we're less optimal. And 40, we're even less optimal. And then it kind of... We're just surviving, and our body is dying more than it is actually... living, sort of we're.
Well, if you live till 100, then you'll be basically, according to you, be seeing the nuclear destruction because you'll be seeing the near beginning of
time. Outliving it.
Yeah, you'll be outliving the end of human race. You'll be the guy that'll be eating bat.
Yeah, I think knowing how long you want to live for is such a weird thing because I think you could say I want to live till the age of 30. When you actually get to 30, you're like, oh, I don't want to die now. 70, some people might be thinking, well, I don't... The acknowledgement of people not knowing after what happens after death, or if anything happens after death, is why people don't want to die. What if it's nothing after death? Literally just the feeling of nothing. People don't want to experience
it's that. Not a feeling. Feeling is always off something, right? That's the point of feeling.
No, shut up.
Yeah, so it's something you can't compare it to any other experience because it's the lack of experience. So you've never had the lack of experience.
Think of this way. Can I feel nothing?
Yes.
What? How does that work?
How does that work? Buddy, this guy called Panini in the many thousand years ago, the guy who came up with the idea of zero found nothingness. He's the guy who came up with the concept of zero.
What does that have to do with
So, well, he was a guy that experienced... The idea of zero is about feeling nothing, experiencing nothing.
Okay.
That's how the concept of zero came about.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, no one had the idea. Because now, let's say we lived 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago.
Mm.
And there was no numerical system or anything like that.
Yeah.
And obviously you think, oh, I can't feel nothing. So the idea of nothing being there was not really there. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So some guy came along called Panini, right?
Panini.
His name wasn't really Panini. It was like Panini, but it's Panini. It's spelled Panini.
It's Panini.
It's Panini.
Panini.
Shut up. Panini.
How is that? Did you say Panini?
Panini, yeah.
Panini.
Yeah, Panini.
Okay. Panini.
Panini.
Yeah. I like the way this conversation is.
Yeah. Panini. Panini. Yeah. And he... Basically, I think there was like a meeting with him and Alexander the Great.
What?
Yeah, generally, not him particularly, but one of the... It was not like one individual. There'll be a lot of like individuals around the time that found the idea of zero. And when they met this guy, Alexander the Great, when they came across him, Alexander the Great heard about, obviously, this is the time when he's reached India, he said that he heard about a guy that was looking for something, so he went and met him. And when he arrived, there was a guy just sitting at the top of the hill, completely naked, eyes closed, just lying there.
Mm.
And he walked up to him and he said... He asked the guy, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm looking for nothingness. And then Alexander the Great was like, that's a stupid thing to think. How can you feel nothing? And then they asked him, what are you looking for? Alexander the Great said, well, I want to conquer the world. He's like, what an idiotic thought. How can someone conquer the world? So although the concept of feeling nothing or conquering the world seem weird, I think they do exist. So feeling nothing does exist.
Mm.
You just haven't experienced it yet.
Okay.
Neither have I experienced conquering the world yet.
Yeah. Or have you?
That's yet to happen. In the pipeline. On the bucket list.
On the bucket list.
Like, I'm 75 years old, so... Oh, conquer the world. Still gotta do that. Well, better get working. That's why you need to be 100 years old. It's gonna take a while to conquer the world.
Yeah.
If that is what you
so
want
I'll
to
do. So I'll start 75. That's a good deadline. Like, I went...
Nah. Alexander the Great died at the age of 28, and he conquered the most of the known world.
Yeah. Yeah, can't disagree with that.
Yeah,
but right now I'm not too busy on a degree and a few other things. Let's leave conquering the world to a retirement project.
Do you think there will be a time where there will be just one country, that whole earth will be united?
Okay, this is where we get to the third.
All right, cheers. Cheers for breaking out of the conversation. Say, oh, I know this is on the list.
Listen.
Your question leads into my question, which is completely unrelated to your question.
This leads to absolutely the same thing. So, we're still on the same topic. Will there be a 22nd century? And Well, you were talking about the concept of time being like the scientific concept, where we have seconds and minutes and hours and such. What if we technologically advance even further than that, and we go more towards this connectedness world where everything is immediate and everything lives in the present, and there's really no stress on past and the future anymore. We really live in the moment, and then we closen up towards singularity. So when we do actually get there, is it important to divide the world or the time into years and these ridiculous time concepts?
That is deep. What do you think?
I'm thinking that ultimately, however much technology will progress, will always be limited by our own way of perceiving the world and our own way of our sense of time and all of these things that are completely relative to our own experience. That's going to restrict us in how far we can progress. We can have all of this great technology, but either the technology leaves us sort of and moves on to do better things on its own, as in artificial intelligence and doing all this crazy stuff where the computers start to basically dominate the world, or they try and bring us along with all of this great progress, and that calls it to reach a limit where we can't increase the amount of information we see. We can't do more things than our brain allows us to. And so I think as much as our brains are extremely flexible in taking on completely new tasks that we haven't ever encountered before, as much as we're able to adapt to a completely new world, I don't think we can do that indefinitely. There's a limit to how much we can adapt to changes.
Mm.
And once technology progresses past that limit, that cutoff point, we're just going to be stuck there. We're not going to ever adapt so far that time, our experience of time, radically changes. I don't think that will ever happen.
What about bionic people? What about people who are connected to these machines? And
well, to me, the idea where people are kind of adding chips into their brains, where they're creating new ways of seeing the world by having different sensory information kind of hooked into them.
Mm.
That's no different from the way we're using phones or laptops or technology already. In the more usual way of interacting with technology, we have some idea that the technology and us are separate things. But the way we interact with it, the way we use them as tools, it's practically part of our own brain. You know, the way I use my laptop, it's so tailored to me. I'm so used to that experience that it's technically part of my body already.
Okay, what about this? Millions of years ago, the people shared information or shared genes together, and changes in the evolution or the advancement of people or human species back then was generation to generation. But today it's more about memological changes, right?
Memological? What do you mean with that?
As in information goes. Okay, yeah, so it's this new branch of science where they study memes.
Memes, like internet memes?
Yeah, this was already in the 70s, a concept by Dawkins. And meme is literally just sharing information, and that information is shared extremely fast with our modern technology. And that's kind of the point I was making, that the modern technology advances to a point where all memes are instantaneously in every single person's mind.
But But do you think you can make that leap from almost instantaneously to instantaneously? How could we have information travel instantaneously?
Yes, this is what I'm wondering. If that does come true. Like, if you think about it, the advancements used to happen in years, like tens and twenties and maybe even a million years when Homo what, Neanderthalus changed to Erectus and such on. I'm not too
Homo Erectus to Homo sapiens.
Yeah, well, that one, yeah, sure. And that happened in several million years, or hundreds of thousands of years. But today, in the modern world, we have these memes. And the memes aren't even only a new concept. They've been around for a while. Like, this is my own idea that it may be even memes were the first thing that made human people aware about things. But let's not get into that. So, any information human people share is a meme. So, this is what Dawkins was arguing. So, coming up with fire was one of the first memes. Because was it Homo sapiens that came up with fire?
It was... Oh, I don't know. But with meme, to me that sounds a lot the same as an idea, the way you described it. Coming up with fire is an idea, or...
It's defined as a meme because it's the way it shares, right? And the thought behind the concept meme is that it's so fast to share that the whole species will be sharing that information. Obviously, we haven't gotten to that point yet where everyone in the world will be sharing exactly the same memes because not everyone has access to internet. That's what's happening. Everyone is going to get an internet access. And when that happens, everyone can share memes and the world truly will be global. And if we continue that advancement and if memes can change us, if memes can create advancements of whatever technological or biological even, will we achieve singularity where every information, bit of information is instantaneously accessed by everyone?
And what do you think? You think we will?
And if that happens, in my mind, that's already that every human being is in the same hive mind. Everyone is one literal mind. And when it goes to that point, I believe it is kind of like a singularity.
And as an outside observer, you're just looking into what is happening. But what do you think about? What's your opinion on if this would happen? Do you want this kind of thing to happen? Or do you like this idea of minds being independent?
Yeah, but that's just ethical.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question.
Okay, well, you can go on that because I don't want to create an ethical question out of it because that's just, I'm just going to either say it's doom or then it's a bad thing or then I'm going to say it's a good thing. It really isn't any of those things. It's just technological advancement. Was it a good thing that Homo sapiens came up with fire? Well, I don't know. They might have evolved into a different direction or they might have still survived. But they still eventually became us, being addicted to looking at phones and sharing memes about Pokemons for the whole summer.
Pepe the Frog.
Yeah. Like, is that a good thing? Is it a good thing that eventually we were led to this... meme-tastic world.
Yeah, it's okay. That's not a question you're willing to. Yeah, it's just tricky to answer that, really.
Yeah, well, we can discuss about that, but it's just going to be very, very tricky.
Okay, guys, that was Red Switch the podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed the material, and we will see you next week.